1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and Paul writing to the church of Corinth, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ." Boy, that's a good place to be right there. "And him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That word power is dunamis. It just means the explosive power of God. "And that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That word also is the dunamis power of God, the explosive power of God. And so one other translation, the Living Bible, it says, "The Holy Spirit's power was in my words, proving to those who heard them that the message was from God." Who proved it to the people? The Holy Spirit. He empowered his words so that it convicted the heart of the hearer, and it convinced them that it was from God. "I did this because I wanted your faith to stand firmly upon God and not on man's great ideas." Hallelujah. And you can see here that when we talk about the power of God, it just thinking about this particular scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about in perilous times, or the end times, it says that in the last days, what does it say? Perilous times will come. And it talks about all of these attributes of people during that time. It says, "For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Now, I thought this was interesting. What does verse 5 say? It says, "having a form of godliness." So they're going to look godly, but act like the devil. Right? And what does this say here? "But denying" what? "The power thereof, from such turn away." When you deny something, what do? You reject it. You refuse something. And that word denying the power is the dunamis power of God. It's talking about rejecting the explosive power of God. So it's okay to preach the word, but when it comes to speaking in tongues, it comes to something demonstrative happening, they deny it. They reject it. What does it say? "From such turn away." God's not in that. Amen. So what's interesting is when you read this in some of the other translations, I like what the God's Word translation say and the New Living Translation. In verse 5, it says, "They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them." Oh, boy. That's pretty straight, isn't it? So when it says they reject the power thereof, it's saying they're rejecting the power that would affect their life and change them. That's what the New Living, it says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. So really, when you think about it, isn't that exactly what Romans 12:2 says? It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that" what? "You will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So when you start to reject the word and the power of God that will cause you to be changed, that's evil. That's not godly. He said, "From such turn away." Hallelujah. So now turn over to John. We shared this scripture in John chapter 2. Dan, hello. I need to know where I'm at, because I'll be here all night. Amen. John chapter 2. Even in the book of Acts, what does it say? Stephen was what? Full of faith and what? Power. He was full of faith and power. But John chapter 2, talking about the first miracle that Jesus did, let's look starting in verse 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, What do you want me to do about it?" That's basically what he said. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." He's basically saying, "What do you want me to do about it?" "And his mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now, you know what's interesting? This is his first recorded miracle. So in here are some characteristics or some, you know, I want to call it a formula, but some characteristics of how we receive a miracle. So if you look at this, it says, well, how do I get a miracle? It is right here. Let's look at some of these steps that were taken on how this miracle came about. Because you can see it. I'm going to use this as a platform to look at other scriptures and see the same steps. But if you look here, how do we receive a miracle? First, you got to hear from God. That's number one. These are just simple things. You've got to hear from God. That's number one. Number two, whatever you hear from God, you need to do it. Whatever he says do, do it. That's what Mary said. Whatever he says, do it. So the first step is, what's the first step? You have to hear from God. Number two, whatever you hear or whatever he says to do, you need to do it. And then once you do it, the third step is, he's the one that does what? He's the one that makes the miracle happen. So you got to hear from him, do it, and then you activate, it'll activate him to do something. He will do the miracle. So here, those simple steps, sounds simple, right? But hearing from God requires that we get close to him and have fellowship with him. So hearing from God requires that you get close and stay close so that you can hear. That's number one in hearing from God. You know, that's a necessary step. What does it say? The branch can do nothing of itself. You need to be connected to the vine, John 15. So you need to hear from God. You need to do what he tells you to do, and then he does the miracle. So what did Jesus say here? When we look at this account, and you come down, Jesus, what did he say in verse 7? So this is the first step, hearing from God. He was God. He said, show us the Father. What did he say? He said, how long have you been with me? He said, how long have you been with me? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the will of God. I am the will of the Father. What he says, I do. What I see him do, I do. Right? So hearing from God, what did they do? He said what? Fill the water pots with water. So they heard him. Right? That's step one. They heard from God. Fill the water pots. What did they do? And they filled them up to the brim. So they did it. Right? That's step two. they filled the water pots. And then what happened? And he saith unto them, he didn't, you know what's interesting here? He didn't say, draw out the water. He didn't say that, did he? He said, draw it out now. He didn't say, draw out the water. He didn't call what is as it is. You get it? You finally got it, right? He just said, draw it out. And bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, and of course, you know, go down, and it says, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth the good wine, and the, when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. So he did a miracle here. Why? Because they heard from him and they did what he told them to do, and that took faith for them to obey and do. Can you just imagine? What do you mean fill it with water? Water. They need wine. So it took faith on their part to obey. And them obeying and doing what he told them to do caused the power of God to be activated. You see that? Now, what's interesting, just think about that step two, doing what he told them to do. Fill the water pots. You know, I think we ought to go over in the corner here and pray, and let's just pray and believe God that it'll turn to water. I mean, to wine. Let's just pray. Or let's just pray and let's just receive money and we can go buy wine and bring it in. See, we do that all the time. We decide we're going to alter the instructions and read into the instructions and not do exactly what he told us to do. Right? And now is he obligated to activate the power of God when we don't do exactly what he told us to do? No. See, and they had an opportunity at this point not to do exactly what he told them to do. They could have decided, you know what? I think we need to, I know what Jesus said, but we need to go get some wine somewhere. Could you send the disciple, go get some wine and bring it in and not do exactly what, I mean, this is real life stuff. They could have. They had an opportunity to, but I believe when he said, fill the water pots, just like when he said to Peter, come, those words had power and it impacted them. But they did have an opportunity to alter the instructions and not do what he told them to do. You know, think about it. If he tells you, people do this all the time. I mean, I know those over here in the Rhema section over here can tell some stories. I've heard some of them. People go out there, they get exposed to faith, and then they hear something, and they go, you know what? I'm going to sell my car. I'm going to sell my car. And they're walking. Because, number one, did God tell them to do that? No. So they're deciding because they heard a testimony and they heard somebody sell a car. I'm going to go sell my car. You're walking, buddy. Unless God told you to sell your car or sell your clothes or sell your money. See, a lot of people hear a testimony and they'll say, well, I sowed some money into this ministry and I got blessed supernaturally. And they think, I'm going to do the same thing. And you're hurting. You're wondering why it's not working. Because first of all, did God tell you to sow the money? Did he tell you to do that? Well, if he didn't tell you to do that, see, we've got scripture in the Bible that tells us, yes, as a man purposeth in his heart. But we can do nothing apart from the vine. We have to hear from him. We have to get direction from him. We are responsible for the directions that he gives us. It's just the truth. You can't take scripture and just decide, I'm going to act on this scripture without hearing from him. And that even goes for all the scriptures regarding healing and everything else. You've got to get direction from God. What do most of the people that we hear, even Brother Hagin, what did he do? He said he fed on the word, he kept feeding on the word, and God spoke to him and said, when he was on the sickbed, when he was 16 for a period of time, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, well, people are up at this time. You need to get out of bed. And he couldn't feel himself, but I threw my legs over the side of the bed, and they hit the floor like two stumps. And I grabbed the bedpost and pulled myself up. But he heard from God, and he did what he told him to do. It wasn't, I'm just going to jump out of bed. He didn't do that. So, you know, I think some of us keep these things. How do you receive a miracle? You hear from God. You do what he tells you to do, and then he performs the miracle. Everybody getting this? Whether it's finances, whether it's healing, yes, it's a fact. Yes, it's promised to us. But you still need to hear from God, because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Faith is being what? Convinced. How does faith come? Hearing from him. Faith comes by hearing from him. And faith, when I meditate in the Word of God and there's light that comes in, revelation comes and I see it, there's faith. Then what am I supposed to do? Act upon it. Because God is showing me something. He's revealing. I'm hearing from him. Then I'm to act. And then what happens? I activate the power of God. Then he goes into operation in my life, in my situation. If you're still processing it, keep processing, because there's been a lot of people, I'm just sharing this, people say, I'm going to just throw my medicine away. We've heard it, and we've had some here in the past. I'm talking about 25, 30 years ago, there were two individuals I'm thinking, they decided, I'm in faith, I'm going to throw my medicine away, and they passed away. Did they hear from God to do that? If they didn't, it's presumptuous. You need to hear from God. Then when you hear from God, what do I mean? Either the still small voice or revelation through the word, you're hearing from God. He's revealing his will to you. And then you are responsible to then do what? Act upon it. That activates the power of God. Hallelujah. So we can't just claim something and tell God what to do. You got to hear from him. He's the one doing the work. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I do what the Father shows me and what he tells me to do. So we have to do the same thing. He's a model for us in that sense, right? So how do we get a miracle? Number one, we have to hear from God. Number one. Number two, whatever he shows us or reveals to us, we do. And once we do that, we do it, then he does the miracle. He does the work. Amen. So, as you can see here, when Jesus said, draw out the water, that's when the miracle happened. When it happened, when he said, draw it out, They're probably, you can imagine, the disciples are thinking, draw out the water? They need wine. Because their mind's thinking, draw it out, is water. No, but they operated in faith. They did what he told them to do. He did the miracle. He did it. Turn over to James for a minute, James chapter 4. And look at verse 13. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It reads a little clearer. James chapter 4 and verse 13 in the, this is the New Living Translation. It says, look here. You who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain city or a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. See, it's pretentious on our part if we haven't heard from God to say, I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to do this or that. You need to hear from God, because he said here, all such boasting is evil. So it says, what does it say? It is sin to know what to do and then not do it. See, he's going to hold all of us responsible and accountable for what we know we're supposed to do and then not do it. See? That's what the scripture says. So we should not try to fill in the blanks, you know, when he tells us something to do and we're not clear on something, stop filling in the blanks on oh yeah, I know what he means. We're gonna go do this or that. Find out clearly what he's telling us to do. Hear from him. Hear from him clearly. Let's turn over to John. Just look and walk through these quickly. You can see the same principles of these healings that took place, or we could say miracles that took place in the Gospels. John chapter 4, starting in verse 46. This is the nobleman's son. And this is talking about the nobleman. And talks about how Jesus, when he heard he came out of Judea, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, what did he say unto him? Hear from him. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. So here's a word from the Lord. Go thy way, thy son liveth. What did he do? And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. He did it. He acted upon what Jesus told him. He heard from Jesus, go thy way, thy son liveth. And he left and he went his way. And I believe that when he did, that caused the power of God to go into operation, because he could have stayed there, he could have done something different, and it would have not activated the power of God. And this said, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, what? Thy son liveth. So he heard from God. He heard from God through Jesus. He acted upon it, and his son was healed. As a miracle. Right there. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. This is the man who was the paralytic that was let down through the roof. Right? And it talks about him being let down through the roof. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then, you know how the scribes were saying, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, What did he say to him? Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Now he's speaking to who? The paralytic. He's now hearing from God. Step one. And what happened? It says, and he arose. He did it. He acted upon what he heard. He could have said, I can't get up. You know, that commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. Right? I'm not trying to make fun here, but that's the point. He could have said, I can't get up. I'm paralyzed. But he didn't. He arose and departed to his house. And what happened? When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So he heard from God. He acted upon it, and he was healed. Power of God went into operation. So how do we activate the power of God? We've got to hear from him. We've got to do what he says do, and that activates the power of God to perform a miracle. John chapter 5. This is the man at the pool of Bethesda. Same principles here. This is the sheep pool. This is where you had the impotent man. He had an infirmity 30 and 8 years. So this impotent man, verse 7, answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another step down before him. Jesus saith unto him, so now he's hearing from God. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And what happened? Immediately the man was made whole, and he did what? He took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. So he heard, he did, and he was healed. Caused the power of God to go into operation. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And this is the man with the withered hand. Starting in verse 6. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 6. This is Jesus. He entered into the synagogue, and the scribes and Pharisees were there, and they were looking and scrutinizing whether he's going to heal, what, on the Sabbath day. And what does it say? When he knew their thoughts, this is Jesus, said to the man which had the withered hand, what did he say? Rise up. In verse 8, rise up and stand forth in the midst. So he heard from God. Stand up, rise up. And what happened? And he arose and stood forth. And then Jesus, verse 10, and then looking around about upon them all, said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So he heard. He did, and he was healed. Power of God was activated. This gives us something to feed upon. What has God told you? What has he said to you? Have you done it, or did you do it up to a point and stop? Pick it back up again. do what he tells you to do, that obligates God to begin to work on your behalf. Sometimes if things aren't working the way that you know it should work, then we need to stop and see, did I miss God? Did I hear from him properly? Or am I just doing something because I think I should be doing it? See, we need to stop. If we're not getting results, we need to stop and hear from him. You know, I just stop and share this because through the years, I've acted upon the word of God and gotten healing results in my body. And I remember one time, it just takes one time, because I was at that time singing in the choir and doing all of the things, right? And my stomach got into turmoil. It was more than turmoil. Anyways, and so I was in extreme pain for about a year. And I'm confessing the word, I'm believing God, I'm expecting change. But no change after a year. And it was to the place where I could not sleep. Sometimes if I'm working here, I had to just lay on the floor because the pain was so bad. I'd get out of the chair, lay on the floor, just to ease the pain. And sometimes getting up and singing was difficult because you're pressing on your diaphragm here. And you're pushing. When you sing, you're pushing, and it was pushing against all that was going on in here. And it was painful. Sometimes I was standing down there, I'm holding on to the pulpit because I was ready to hit the floor. It was that painful. And so I remember coming back from vacationing with family. I'm standing in the shower, and the Holy Ghost said, if you don't go, and just a still small voice, I could have missed it. That's why I say it's so important. Hear from him. He knows things you don't know. Stop trying to pull scripture out and exercise. Not that the scripture's not true, but is that what he wants you to do? He told me. I'm standing in the shower. He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And it's July, end of July. And I'm thinking, July, August, September, October, November, December. I did. I'm sitting there going, 6 months. But I was so convinced. It took me 2 weeks to get to go to the doctor. And finally, I did. In my mind, I said, you're a fool. That was the Holy Ghost. Go. So I did. But within a matter of, you know, and just following my spirit, I went to a doctor, and I decided, nope, that's not it, nope. So I stopped going. He gave me something. I said, nope, not going. Didn't feel right down here. Didn't feel at ease. So I went to another, was a nutritionist and a doctor, and he started giving me some nutrition advice. And I'm telling you, within 2 weeks, my stomach turned right around. And in less than a month, my stomach had turned right around. It's just wrong. What I was doing was wrong. So I could have been, you know, I'm not saying that the power of God couldn't have gone in and healed it, but here's the point. When I look back now, I said, but I would have never changed my habits. Because I'm going to tell you what happened. 5 or 6 years prior to this incident, I had a similar situation, and it eased up and it went away, and I thought, okay, so I'm back doing the same thing again. No change. So he knew that if I hadn't gotten this nutritional advice, it wouldn't have changed. It'd have been like an up and down roller coaster. So that's my point in saying all this. You got to hear from God. Directions for you, then do it. And then he's obligated to work in the midst of that. Whether or not you go to a doctor or don't go to a doctor, do what he says do. Do what he tells you to do. If he tells you to sow a financial seed into a particular thing and do something, then do it. We're not talking about tithes and offerings. Don't wait to find out from God whether you should do it. He already told you that in the Word of God. I'm talking about doing something over and above and special. But do what God tells you to do. This obligates God to activate, or it causes us to operate in faith and activate the power of God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is the centurion. Chapter 8 and verse 8. So this is a centurion. What did he say? He said, I'm not worthy that you come into my house or under my roof. He said, what? Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And what happened? When Jesus heard this, he what? He marveled and said to them that followed, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the servant, the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So he did what God told him to do. He said, don't come under my roof, come and heal him. And he said, go thy way, thy servant's healed. Well, he had to do something. He had to go. If he didn't go his way, he wouldn't have activated. He wouldn't have acted upon the direction. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. Let's look at under the church, the dispensation of the church. Acts chapter 3, this is the gate called Beautiful, Peter and John. What happened? They're getting inspired of God. There's crippled man. He was lame from his mother's womb. What happened? Verse 3, Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And verse 6, and then Peter said, what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's no different today when God speaks through whatever vessel, whether it's from the pastors or whether there's a word that comes in off that through the members here or someone that's in the body of Christ that we bear witness to, that's an instruction for all of us, right? We need to hear from him and then do what? Obey it. That's what activates the power of God, to help us, protect us, and to fulfill what he wants to do. This is what we're talking about in all these lessons on how do we activate the power of God. The power of God is in us, but it can lie dormant in us. What does it talk about in Ephesians? That we be strengthened with might by his spirit in our inner man. He wants us to be strengthened with his power to do the things that God has called us to do. So the power is activated, again, when we do what he said do, not just something that we, what, decide to do. We have to do what he says do. Let's look at Acts 14. This is the man at Lystra who was impotent in his feet. Verse 8, chapter 14 of Acts. There was a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving he had what? He had faith to be healed. What did he say in verse 10? So now he's going to hear something inspired by God. He said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And I'm assuming he did, because it says he what? He leaped and walked. Hallelujah. So we must believe that the power of God is present. Power of God was present there. And we need to do what? Receive it, and then we need to act upon it. So again, how do we receive a miracle from God? We have to do what? We have to hear from God, or we could say, how do we activate the power of God? We have to hear from God something that he reveals to each one of us individually through his word, or he speaks to us. He gives us direction. Direction comes through revelation. It's not information. It's revealed to us through the word of God. So something that he reveals to us, something he instructs us to do or reveals to us, we're hearing from him, then it's our responsibility, number two, to do what? Act upon it, and then he does the work. He does the work. He activates or initiates the power of God in us, or causes it to manifest, I should say. Everybody got that? So, I tell you, it's helping me because I'm going back and looking at, okay, what things, and I can tell you, we can look back and see, oh yeah, you know, I was stepping out doing something here, and I didn't see the results. Did I actually hear from him to do that? Well, that's only for you to answer. You can reflect and see, well, maybe I didn't hear correctly from God to do this, and I was stepping out doing something that he didn't tell me to do, then he's not obligated to cause the power of God to manifest in your life, right? Amen goes right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope it make you think about this, because a lot of times we're stepping out in faith doing something, and the first step is, did I hear him to do that? Did he tell me to step out and do that? Sometimes we're adding to things. You know, when I heard Brother Hagin or Pastor Hagin share this, he said one of the reasons they don't put prophecies that his dad gave through the years in the Word of Faith magazine, because he said his father said that most times prophecy given is not for now. And when people hear it, they run off and do something, and it's not for right now. And I think about all the words that were given to this ministry 30 years ago. Some of it now is just now starting to come to the forefront. But you heard it 30 years ago, you could have thought it was for right now, but it wasn't for right now. And so it's helping me. You'll know when it's for right now. See? So the main thing is, do we hear from God? Are we doing it? And if we are, then that will cause the power of God to be activated in your life. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you're revealing your will and your purpose to us. We thank you that as we hear from you, as we act upon it, we thank you that you will be able to fulfill your desires in each one of our lives. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, that you will hold us each accountable for what you reveal to us individually. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, think about it. Just think about it. What does the scripture say? God would have not one man perish. He said he desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He desires that no one perish. But I'll guarantee you that the ones that may perish, he's given every single one of them. He's revealed his will in a way that they know. So they can never stand in front of them and say, I didn't know. He'll say, remember on this date here, I showed you this and this and this. So he revealed, they heard from him, but they chose not to do it. They chose not to accept him as Lord and Savior. See, you see the principle. And when we accept him, the power of God goes into operation and changes us. See, makes us brand new creatures in Christ. So we will hear from him. What does that mean? He reveals his will to us. He shows us, it's my will that you accept me. I've done all the work. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, that I sent him to die for your sins, and that he was raised from the dead. When you believe that and you confess it with your mouth, and you do what? You do it. Then what happens? It says you'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. And so that's the same thing. That's how that miracle happens. Isn't that true? So we see these principles all through the Bible. You got to hear from him. What does that mean? He's revealed something to you. Then you have to do it. And the power of God goes into operation. Praise God. Amen.